Grüezi miteinander, ganz herzlich willkommen und einen wunderschönen guten Tag, meine sehr verehrten Damen und Herren, liebe Freunde aus nah und fern. Ich begrüße Sie zu einer weiteren Sondersendung von Weltwoche Daily, die andere Sicht, unabhängig, kritisch, gut gelaunt aus Moskau. So interessant die Gesprächspartner, die Eindrücke, die man hier sammeln kann, die Begegnungen, die Erkenntnisse, die auch möglich sind. Und heute darf ich begrüßen in diesem Programm einen sehr renommierten und bekannten Exponenten der russischen Außenpolitik. Er ist so etwas wie der Doyen der russischen Außenpolitik. Es ist Professor Sergei Karaganov. Sergei Karaganov ist der Faculty Dean, also der Departementsvorsteher an der Außenpolitischen Fakultät der Higher School of Economics in Moskau. Ich habe ja bereits mit Fjodor Lukjanov gesprochen. Die beiden verbindet auch ein interessantes Beziehungsfeld in verschiedenen Bereichen. Professor Karaganov ist allerdings schon sehr lange auf der politischen Szene unterwegs. Er war auch Berater verschiedener Präsidenten, unter anderem der Präsidenten Jelzin und Putin. Und er tritt heute hervor, auch mit provokativen Aussagen zu der ganzen politischen Entwicklung, ein ja, außenpolitischer Vordenker Russlands und ein Gesprächspartner, der auch den Westen sehr, sehr gut kennt. Ich werde jetzt auf Englisch wechseln, weil wir uns auf Englisch unterhalten möchten. Because my Russian is not up to standard, it's impossible, unfortunately, to have this conversation in Russian. But Professor Karaganov, welcome to this program. It's great to talk to you.
Let us have a chat. I mean, I assume that the questions will not be easy to answer, but I mean, the world is very complicated now.
It's very complicated, but then some thoughts are needed to cut through the complexity. Well, let's begin with the most dire and one could say terrible questions. How close are we at the moment to a nuclear confrontation related to the war in Ukraine?
There are two answers. One is that we are closing on that, but hopefully we will never reach that point. That depends both on Russian decisiveness in climbing up the ladder of escalation and on the ability of the Western elites. I question the ability of comprehending how close they are to a catastrophe. Mm.
And how close are we to the catastrophe?
We are closer than ever. In Europe, we are closer than ever since 1939. In the world, it's a bit different because there are two layers. One is that the war which had been unleashed in Europe, predictably, could escalate if West doesn't give up on its what I call aggression, which is indeed aggression against Russia. It could eventually escalate into attack of Russia or else attack on Russia, and then Europe would cease and more or less cease and exist as a viable civilization. But that could be avoided, of course, if you understand how dire is the threat. There is a second issue which very few people understand, and that is that now the tectonic shifts under the world system has moved away, and the whole world has entered a period of about 20-25 years, I do not know, of the collapse of the old system, which started already about 15-17 years ago, and of the build-up of the new one. And this period, say, of two decades or two decades and a half, hopefully not more, is prone with a lot of conflicts, mm-hmm. because some countries will be going up, some countries will be going down. We see that very rapidly happening. It's not only between West and the rest, between Russia and the West, between mm-hmm. China and the United States. There will be tensions between growing nations. Mm-hmm. What will happen between Indonesia and Vietnam or ASEAN countries in 10 years is unclear. It is clear that already the potential of conflicts are simmering in most of the rim of Eurasia and sooner or later in Latin America. So the question now is how to restore the only instrument, unfortunately the only instrument which we have to preserve world peace, and that is nuclear deterrence.
Now, nuclear deterrence, what is the, so we're living in dangerous times, what are the red lines of President Putin? What would you say is the ultimate red line that would bring Russia to use its nuclear potential?
I could not speak and would not speak on the behalf of President Putin. Now, I will give you my red lines. If Russia gets tired of killing Ukrainians, even if the ratio of our victims are 5-1, sooner or later, the pressure from within Russia would grow that Russia should use its nuclear weapons against the countries which are supporting or actually waging the Ukrainian war against or the war in Ukraine against Russia. I hope that would not happen. Of course, if major Russian strategic targets and cities will continue to be attacked, or if attacks escalate, that would be also the casus belli.
Do you think?
I must say one thing. We have had a very, I would say, relaxed nuclear doctrine. Of course, it is not as relaxed on, in the real field as it sounds. It looks like by being so relatively open and peaceful, that is, I mean, we will use nuclear weapons only if the fate of the state is at stake. We paved the way for aggressive movements of the West. The doctrine will be changed, and also the position and deployment of nuclear forces will be faced. And in principle, I believe that if a war starts, we would win a war in Europe, but it will be a terrible moral defeat for Russia, even if we win the war, quote unquote.
There is. Do you think that the Western side is trying to push Russia over the nuclear brink? There is this saying, "Boiling the frog." You escalate gradually. The Americans are delivering more and more dangerous weapons. Now we have heard that the NATO summit, that Ukraine should also attack targets on Russian territory. Do you see like a will on the Western side to push Russia over the nuclear brink in order to create a full-scale war?
I think there are, of course, the answer could not be answered because we at this juncture have been cut unilaterally by our Western neighbors from themselves. They're afraid of us, so they you are a very lone visitor to Russia. They are banned, so we do not have the first and knowledge. So we have to rely on reflections in the mirror or else on our experience and understanding. I think that Europeans and our modern European elites are so incompetent and so abysmally collapsing, that they are knowingly or unknowingly willing a war. Mm-hmm. But they do not understand what it means. Mm-hmm. They lost the feeling. And for the third time in 120 years, they are driving themselves towards a suicide. And that is a real problem. Their mental, moral, and intellectual collapse of the European elites. On the United States, we have the same problems, but they are not that deep. So Americans are much more careful, and they are pushing Europeans to the brink, so like they already pushed Ukrainians, so to into this mid-grinder.
Which
I am absolutely amazed by the fact that Europeans who are the successors of great strategic thinkers are moved into a slaughterhouse and are willingly being moved there. That is an issue of real concern.
What is the root cause, if you could single out one, what is the decisive root cause of the war in Ukraine?
The decisive, very clear. Russia, when it overthrew communism, wanted to join what rejoin European, quote-unquote, civilization, though it, of course, it belonged to it, but it was pushed apart. It was rejected in 1994, since 1995, there was an opening. And then NATO started to expand, which was clearly an act of political aggression. And from 1995, I have been and especially from 1997, when Russia made the mistake of signing a founded act with NATO, which legitimized further NATO expansion, we were the movement towards a war has started. And I have been writing about that for about 27 years.
And why do you think this worst-case scenario, which President Putin said deploying troops into Ukraine would be a worst-case scenario, he said that in an interview with the film director Oliver Stone. Why do you think this worst-case scenario could not be prevented, neither by Russia, neither by the West?
You will have to rely on sense of self-preservation of the Western elites, though unfortunately we could not rely on that. Hopefully, eventually, the deep state in Europe or the United States will sweep away the present elites, especially in Europe, but also in the United States, which are totally incompetent and irresponsible. I say that with great sorrow because I was the founder of Institute of Europe in this country, and I was one of the most pro-European Russians, I mean, 35 years ago, whatever, 40. And now I see that I have no interlocutors there, almost no. All of the people with whom we could have talked seriously about matters of strategy are done, and we have, I mean, this a very strange group of people who actually do not understand history, do not understand their responsibility towards their people, and who have lost, I mean, even the moral sense of where they should go.
And but was it not a huge mistake by President Putin to cross the borders with his troops, because with that he went into a development which is also not good for Russia. I mean, he's now vilified as the arch devil, you could say, by the Western countries, by the European countries. He's somehow entangled in an escalating, it seems, escalating confrontation. Wasn't it a mistake by the president to seek the military option in this conflict?
It was a very it has been a very complicated process. I do not know, of course, exactly the thinking process of President Putin, but I believe that Russia acted too late.
They waited too long.
Waited for too long. I was one of those who was saying that we should issue a dire warning or even an ultimatum long before that we did. Probably the best time would have been somewhere 2018, for unknown reasons, political, military, technical, economic, we didn't do that. And then, of course, COVID took over. Mm-hmm. And so, and in a way, we were unprepared for mm-hmm. For a situation which we have been preparing for long, but we hoped it would be avoided. Also, I must say that many in the Russian elite made a mistake of believing that they had intellectually viable interlocutors and morally viable interlocutors on the other side. The other side was cheating. Mm-hmm. And it was very hard for many in the Russian elites. I don't know, was the thinking of President Putin, decisively, to understand that they were cheated like that. Like, for example, the Minsk process was all about cheating.
There must be the feeling on the side of many Russians who have been involved and who have followed this process, the Minsk peace agreements, that they feel betrayed, I could imagine, after Ms. Merkel, or fooled.
Fooled, I'm sorry. Betrayed, I mean.
Fooled. They were naive.
Betrayed, you could, a friend could be betrayed, but we were fooled, so, and those who are fooled were fools. Yeah. We made a mistake.
So the president let himself be fooled also, because
he accepted the fact that we were fooled and openly, but he still believed, like maybe most in the Russian elites, that we were having responsible interlocutors there.
What do you say about these news and these stories in the West? I'm sure you're following them, about war crimes in Ukraine. I mean, there was Bucha, now we have this these reports on this hospital in Kiev. They make a huge story out of this in the West, of course, because they say, well, look, this is how Russia behaves in this war. You have also written, I think, extensively about these issues. Can you give us your view on that?
Let's put it this way. I'm not in the propaganda business, and I do not have the full picture of the situation, and nobody has, or almost nobody has. It is a war, and all things happen during the war. As to the Bucha issue, it was a clear frame-up. I mean, it's a fake. That is absolutely clear. As to the hospital, I don't know. Maybe a missile could have missed, or it was destroyed.
Why do you think?
I know one thing for sure, and that is that if Russia would have decided to wage an all-out war, and that is to destroy cities like Kyiv, would have won long ago. But Russian strategy, which many question in this country, is to save as many people as possible, both on the Ukrainian side, I mean civilians, and on the Russian side, mm-hmm. soldiers. Mm-hmm. And many people are questioning whether we should be that cautious or that quote-unquote humanistic. Mm-hmm. But of course, most I read on a daily basis Western newspapers, 95.8% what is written about this war is false. Mm-hmm. However, I do not know the full truth, so I couldn't say it because I'm not there. Yeah. However, I have a lot of friends who who are fighting there, mm-hmm. and I know that our troops are ordered to be to save as many lives or not mm-hmm. to kill as many people as they could, and that's why we are so slow.
Yeah. And how would you justify the claim that Bucha was a fake? I mean, the people in the West would say this is like a fact. It's a fact of life. It's even not this disputed. So it's interesting to have a bit a different view. How would you argue with these people? How would you say why this clearly a fake?
The problem is that when somebody says that you are cheating on your wife when you don't know that you are not cheating on your wife. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you start to argue about that, mm-hmm. You look foolish. Mm-hmm. I know from people whom I trust mm-hmm. That Bucha was a frame up. Mm-hmm. Well, it was a total, mm-hmm. Not even a frame up. It was mm-hmm. a total fake. Oh. As to the hospital. That could have been a mistake, I don't know. Yeah. But I know, of course, of dozens of cases of attacks on the civilian objects on the Ukrainian side. And also I know one thing which nobody in the West wants to acknowledge, and that is that for 8 years, since the Donbas republics declare their semi-independence, they were bombarded, and thousands upon thousands of people were killed. Mm-hmm. That is for sure. And a lot of people in this country were infuriated that we procrastinated for so long mm-hmm. Not to start to defend the Donbas and Lugansk areas. Actually, because I think that our leadership wanted to find a kind of a quote-unquote political solution, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was also a mistake. Mm-hmm. I would say even a moral mistake. We should have moved in earlier.
So you're saying the same people who are now attacking, accusing Russia for human rights violations, they have kept silent for 8 years when atrocities were committed.
Thousands upon thousands of people, but that is a fact of life. Yeah. Nobody even could reject that. Yeah.
I was, the only Western journalist who interviewed Maria Belova, the children, the responsible person, the chairman for this for children affairs in Russia, and she's accused, as you know, by the International Criminal Court. They say Russia is deporting children from the Ukraine. Can you say something about that? What is the Russian view on that?
I know that issue because some of my friends wanted to bring orphans from Ukraine and to become their parents.
Yeah.
So I was involved in parallel. Mm-hmm. That was an absolutely false accusation. Of course, a lot of children were lost to their families or were sent by their families. But when I listened about this theft of children, it looked like it was nauseating. I'm sorry, it was nauseating on the part of the mm-hmm. accusers. I know a lot of people who were helping them, who were devoting their time, money, mm-hmm. To help these poor children who have been swept by the way, out of their houses, who lost their parents. Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, some of them are being quote-unquote returned to their families if and when. But there was no such thing mm-hmm. as the quote-unquote theft of the people. And actually, when I saw these accusations, I mean, they were even worse mm-hmm. than the Bucha slander. They were beyond being nauseating. Mm-hmm.
I was struck by these accusations too, because if you look at other wars, for example, Vietnam or the situation in Cuba, there was always the case that a lot of children left the country. Unfortunately, because of the war, even the Americans made evacuation programs which were not accused by the criminal instances.
Well, I mean, I do not want to get into these issues. Yeah. I mean, it is a war. Yeah. Which is waged by the West, because the West understands that, or the Western elites understand, not the West, the Western elites understand that they're losing their privileged position in the world. And they use it all means possible, yeah. And even those which are morally unpalatable. Yeah. We are dealing with an absolutely immoral enemy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Quick questions to finish this Ukraine topic. Can Russia be militarily defeated now in its current positions in the Ukraine?
That is funny. Those who believed that Russia could have been defeated were either fools or liars. Those who continue to talk about that, I mean, even worse, if possible. Russia could not be defeated in any war in Europe because it has a possibility just to do away with Europe within a day. There'll be no Europe left. People who are fueling up this war are mad suiciders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Of course, I mean, we have all our problems with whether we should use nuclear weapons or not use nuclear weapons. The main impediment is the moral one, mm-hmm. and that is for me. And I am, as you know, I have been working on the possibility of Russian first use of nuclear weapons. The real impediment is only one, and that is whether a person like myself could push the button knowing that a lot of innocents would be killed.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I mean, Europe is completely bare. Nobody would come to its will fight for it, or the United States guarantees are zero.
Mm.
And the fact that the Europeans, I'm not speaking about the Swiss,
mm-hmm.
However, even the Swiss have joined their camp of, I would say, of madmen or madwomen, whomever they at this juncture, which is very strange. They are running amok.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have written about the subject in a very famous essay last year. Did you actually suggest that Russia should use nuclear weapons? I understood it a bit like that you somehow put the argument forward. The West has forgotten what nuclear deterrence is about. And Russia should actually use its nuclear potential to show that these weapons still are around. Or did I misunderstand you at that
No,
point?
There were several articles. I mean, some of them. Yeah. The first became more famous or infamous, but there were several. Mm-hmm. Developing the subject in depth. Now, there were two reasons why I put out that on the issue.
Yeah.
I saw that the world, because of the overall destabilization and is moving towards the world war, irrespective of the war between Russia and the West and Ukraine. And we have to restore the nuclear fuse, which have kept peace in Europe for about 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
For all kind of reasons. One is that people just get used to peace. They forgot about their history, about the fact that Europe in one generation, there's, in this case, Europeans, not Swiss, unleashed two wars, the world wars in one generation. Mm-hmm. I mean, Europe is the most dangerous place in the world. Mm-hmm. If I were not humanistic, I would have said it should have been done away with. It's the worst source of all evil. And now they are for the third time running in the same direction. And that is really disgusting, but also dangerous. So we have to put this nuclear fuse back into the system first, in the old system. Because
so to shock everything. The people back to reality.
To reality. I mean, they have to return. And second, but hopefully we could stop before the actual use by climbing the ladder of escalation, by showing our resolve to use nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully that people will come to their senses. Mm-hmm. But if they do not come to their senses, that will happen.
Yeah.
And I know that, I mean, we shall win. Russia shall win. Mm-hmm. But morally, that victory will be Pyrrhic. And I don't want, I know that my only responsibility, that if I do not do that, I will be responsible for not advising my government and other governments doing that. Yeah, but, and also, as I've said, on two levels. One is European, and one is world, because we are moving into the world of multiple conflicts. And the only, and at the same time, the system which we erected after the Second World War of keeping some kind of a peace has collapsed already. Yeah. So we have two layers of dangers. Mm-hmm. And there are no institutional, legal, or any base or political base for keeping peace other than bringing in the fear of nuclear Holocaust.
Yeah. Last point to this war: how will the Ukraine war play out? What now? What is the outcome? What do you see as the scenario that we are entering?
The scenario, of course, I mean, it could be a stop and gap operation. Now, but the most likely scenario is that Russia will retake most of the Russian, original Russian lands, south and east of Ukraine. Now, some Ukraine could be left as an independent, quasi-independent state, fully demilitarized. But it will take
without NATO membership.
Sorry?
Without NATO membership.
Without NATO membership. If NATO membership is and even without European Union membership, of course, European Union would never accept Ukraine because it's a basket case, and even they wouldn't accept it into NATO. The question is that because of the after the collapse of the former Soviet Union, and because of the softness and stupidity of early, late Soviet and Russian leaders, we believed and trusted in the goodwill of the West. So we opened up our arms and we spoiled our Western neighbors into believing that they are right, that they are on the right sense of history. And they have started to commit one mistake after another, strategic mistake. They have committed in the last 30 years. They have committed more strategic mistakes than probably during the last 200 years. I just remind you of one strategic mistake which was made by Napoleon when he decided to attack Russia. Mm-hmm. Another by Hitler when he decided to fight on two fronts. Now the Europe is doing the third strategic mistake, knowing about these.
When will the war end? Short answer. What do you think?
The war hopefully will, with some kind of semi-negotiations, will end in about 2 years. Hopefully before Russia will have to use nuclear weapons. But then the question is not about about the war. The question is to persuade the current elites, Western elites, that they are bringing their countries towards abyss and making them to retreat. It is not about Ukraine. The Ukrainians are put into the meat grinder. They are fooled. They're culturally weak. Well, but I have sympathy towards them. They are, but the real question is the current European elites, which want to, which first of all do not understand what they're doing, and second, which want to restore their privileged position in the world system, which they had had for 500 years. It is not returnable.
I think we make a point here for our first part of the conversation. We'll continue on some other issues, but I will push the button for a moment and we will re-enter the conversation. Many thanks for your remarks on this field, but we'll write in a few moments, we will continue.